Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. It's good to be with you. Well, on this program 4 weeks ago, we spoke about that document which had been released shortly before by the Vatican, the World Council of Churches, and the World Evangelical Association. It was called Christian Witness in a Multi-Religious World. I should say it is called that. And the document is supposed to be the standard for Christian conduct when engaging in ministry. But what it really is a call to demonize Christians who are truly Protestant and evangelical, to further demonize them, ostracize them as being out of the bounds of true Christianity, and to silence their true Christian witness. No doubt this document can now be used by various civil authorities to justify suppression of the truth as it is in Jesus and the persecution of believers in various parts of the world. The next week, we move to speaking of the state church complex or apparatus of China, Red China, and those state church leaders, red wolves with black hearts. We spoke of how the leaders of the registered church in China are, to the government, essential tools to pervert the true religion of Christ and persecute those Christians who refuse to betray him. That topic just naturally then brought up the issue of high-profile Western evangelical leaders cheerfully and profitably being used as propaganda tools, as useful stooges by the persecutors of our brethren in such nations as Red China, the old Soviet Union, and so forth. Well, one cannot open up that topic of selfish, big-headed Western new evangelicals willingly being used as stooges by persecutors without then speaking of the Grahams, Billy, Franklin, and Ned. And so we did just that last week. Now, I cannot leave this general issue without speaking of a controversy which has been raging around a certain evangelical group which witnesses to Muslims and also exposes the heart of Islam. This controversy is, I think, very telling and instructive as well. As I said in one of the past programs, should true persecution come to this country, I mean true persecution like we see in, for instance, China, Cuba, the Muslim lands, should that come here, there does seem to be an increasing number of high-profile so-called evangelicals who would play the part of the registered church leaders of China, such as Franklin Graham's friend, the apostate Bishop Ting. Now, our focus will be on what I've been talking about the past couple of weeks, really. It's not just in countries where true Christianity is illegal, though, that there are wolves claiming the name of Christ. Men who are more than willing, even eager, to betray Christians who are seeking to be obedient to Christ. There are plenty of new evangelical ministers and evangelists in this country right now, it seems, who are more than ready to curry favor with persecution-minded government officials and the unbelieving public. I say to curry favor by denouncing, even smearing Christians who minister in the open air, plainly, biblically speaking, truth, and who challenge unlawful decrees from public officials, which would mute, restrict, even obscure and veil the truth of the scriptures. I'm not talking about combative people here who are just trying to make a point. No, we're talking about people who are willing to go into court if they have to defend the religious liberties that we have. Now, certainly a modernistic, worldly understanding of ministry and the jurisdiction of state and church plays into this pandering to the world. That's part of it. And this currying favor with government officials who would take away the church's blood-bought religious liberty to preach the gospel. The gospel, which is the message of blood-bought soul liberty, in that case, the blood of Jesus. Now, the liberty then to preach the gospel, and also necessarily, of course, to preach the law of God and to glorify the free grace of God and reprove, of course, the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, whatever the reason for the despicable behavior we'll be speaking of today, and this in a free nation and under no threat of prison or death, the result is the same. I've had firsthand experience myself in being the object of such man-pleasing, man-promoting treachery. I say from so-called evangelical ministers and leaders. But it's not my experiences we're going to talk about today. But we're going to talk about that controversy I mentioned, which involves the city of Dearborn, Michigan, with its very large Muslim population and very Muslim-influenced, it appears, Muslim-dominated city government and police force. The police force is headed up by Chief Haddad. Now, the controversy has to do with religious liberty and the Dearborn Arab Festival. As I understand it from the documents I've read, the city of Dearborn has been insisting that it has the right to ban Christians from distributing literature and preaching on the public sidewalks of the festival, except in so-called free speech zones. Now, I want to say that's what the controversy is over. That's what current court cases are over. I should also mention, and keep this in mind as you hear the comments of certain compromised, pandering evangelical figures, that city police have also a number of times forbidden Christians from handing out gospel literature on the public sidewalks near mosques in Dearborn, on public property, handing out gospel literature to Muslims going into mosques in Dearborn. Now, we have heard that these lawsuits that have been filed with regard to the Dearborn Arab Fest have sort of chilled somewhat this year some of this attacks upon religious liberty by the police. I say this very recent Arab Fest, but yet it's still going on outside the festival. Now, I mentioned free speech zones. Free speech zones, that's euphemistic language, of course, but that's what the city of Dearborn wants, and that's what some of these court cases are about. They're trying to defend their free speech zones. In other words, saying, well, we've given you a little space here that we set off. You can stand within that little space and you can share what you want to share, but nowhere else. Now, free speech zones, that's euphemisms. Government officials have no right to cordon off a chunk of a city. In this case, is it 14 square blocks of the downtown area of Dearborn, which is normally a public concourse, an area paid for by tax dollars with public sidewalks, streets, and so forth, and then ban true free speech from that area. The truth is, we're talking about pristine, bedrock, First Amendment territory, which has been so since, as the U.S. Supreme Court has put it in such cases, since time immemorial. Now, as I understand it, the city of Dearborn is claiming that since Christians who want to evangelize at the festival can apply for a permit to rent booths as long as they follow certain restrictions, and since if they don't want a booth, they could go over yonder and stand in that little free speech zone over there, then the city can arrest individuals who engage in, well, any other free speech activities. Specifically, Christian Witness has been the target of the officials, and that's the reason for the lawsuits now going on. For instance, handing out tracts anywhere in the area of the festival, and sometimes without the festival. Of course, in such a situation, having to obtain a permit, in other words, obtain a permit to share your religious beliefs and get a booth, and otherwise you can't share them, that's called prior restraint. And it's grossly unconstitutional whether any restrictions accompany the permit or not. Even if they said you can share anything you want about your religion and your beliefs anywhere in the city, no restraints, no restrictions, but you have to have a permit, that's still prior restraint. Restrictions only make the unlawful nature of the ordinance the more egregious. I'm saying these booths, there are restrictions that go with them, and it just makes it more egregious. But as you'll see, there is no lack of evangelical ministers and evangelists who are more than happy to sell religious liberty cheap, to justify persecution-minded officials and attack those Christians who believe in the free course of the gospel and that we ought to obey God, not men. You know, many hearts have been revealed by this Dearborn controversy. Many things have been revealed about, well, some de facto Sharia law that certain government officials appear to be trying to implement in Dearborn. Aspects of Sharia law. Many hearts have been revealed about these so-called evangelical ministers and evangelists who are attacking individuals who are simply sharing their faith and their beliefs in a lawful way, in the open air. What you're going to hear as we read you some comments and even play some audio clips, what you're going to hear coming from the mouths of certain evangelical Christians and evangelists should disgust any faithful Christian, should disgust any faithful Christian, I say. And there's a warning here. There's a warning, a chilling warning. And you're going to hear from a bunch of pandering men pleasers with a perverted understanding of evangelism. I have a great many quotes to read. I hope you'll bear with me. I think it'll be worth it. But first, I need to make some very important clarifications. Please listen carefully here. I recently saw a video of a group of street preachers in action at this recent Dearborn Arab Festival. These men were not with the group we're going to be talking about. They had come into town. There's a controversy raging, a court case, more than one on, and the city working overtime to misrepresent certain Christians who minister in the open air. So this group breezed into town, set up shop in a free speech zone, so-called, and then proceeded to be about as obnoxious as possible. Now, to be fair, I only saw a 15-minute video. Perhaps there are some other videos which show this group preaching well. It's possible. But what I saw for 15 minutes, not for 30 or 2 or 5, but 15, I would not characterize as preaching. Taunting, mocking, preaching to the women in the crowd, how about you burn your little burkas? Preaching, there's no 72 virgins, you're going to die like the worm that you are and wake up in the fires of hell like the pitiful dog you are. Sing-songing over and over, Islam is a lie. Holding up a shoe to show contempt Muslim style for the crowd, which included little children, shouting to the Muslims that they're on their way to hell, which of course they are, but shouting out that they're on their way to hell and then laughing like a lunatic at the top of one's lungs, telling Muslim women you're a hoe. Simply shouting over and over, Muhammad is in hell, Muhammad is in hell, Muhammad is in hell. That's not really preaching, is it? Now, I'm all for plain-spoken, no-compromise, open-air preaching, which exalts the righteousness of God and the wrath of God against sin. I say exalts the righteousness of God and makes plain the wrath of God against sin, which plainly declares the dead, corrupt, lost state of all men and lays the pride of man in the dust. But what those guys were doing strains the definition of preaching, I'm afraid. And the sad part is, there were so many little children listening to that then. Little Muslim children were listening, and here were the Christians acting like that. Now, that doesn't mean I would condone any violation of those men's rights or condone any physical attack upon them. It doesn't mean I'm going to hit the airwaves and newspapers to tear that group of men up in order to curry favor with the officials of Dearborn or the Muslims. It just means that those men have muddied up the waters in Dearborn, and this is what usually happens, and they brought reproach on Christ and the true gospel preachers. And what they did shows a disregard for those sincere Christians who do minister to the Muslims, minister the gospel to the Muslims in Dearborn, perhaps live there even, and they minister publicly and they minister privately, and of course not perfectly, no one does, but to Muslims, to many at a time, or perhaps just one at a time, perhaps with tracts or signs or preaching, or as I say, one-on-one. Now, secondly, we're going to be talking mostly about a ministry called X17 Apologetics. Those brethren have become the target of a smear campaign by Dearborn officials with the help of the likes of Dr. Josh McDowell. Now, Josh McDowell, of course, is a new evangelical celebrity. Many of you, I suppose, most have heard of him. Now, the X17 people use at least some of the time modern Bible versions. They have some relations with James White, so that may explain that. They also have at least one woman who apparently debates matters of doctrine, and we would be strongly against that. And there are other important issues where I strongly, strongly disagree with this group. But the issue we're talking about is evangelicals being attacked and smeared by government officials and so-called evangelical leaders, as well as being arrested for reproving the unfruitful works of Islam and also sharing the gospel, including giving out Arabic Gospels of John and other literature. And I saw one video where there was an Acts 17 street preacher who was doing a very good job. I mean, I wouldn't preach just like him, I guess, probably. But, you know, we don't all preach exactly the same. But he was biblical, and he had a gospel sign on that he was wearing, one of these sandwich boards. And he was being physically shoved around by a Muslim crowd, and the Dearborn police came. They were also stealing his literature, by the way, out of his backpack. Dearborn police came, and their response was just to escort the preacher away, not to back the crowd off and tell them to stop acting in a disorderly fashion, and including by using some very vile, vile language. Now, Josh McDowell et al. Are not attacking Acts 17 because of their use of modern Bible versions, obviously. Josh McDowell, are you kidding? Or because they have a woman teacher, again, are you kidding? Or because of other issues, which I, and I hope all of you, would strongly disagree on with that Acts 17 ministry. No, the issue is religious liberty. And I mean true religious liberty, not an abuse of religious liberty. Although I'm not an internet man, I've watched a number of downloaded videos taken by the Acts 17 ministry. Now, let me tell you something. I gave you my disclaimer. Let me tell you something, though. The people involved with Acts 17, from what I've seen, well, first of all, they're younger people. There's a number of former Muslims who have been converted to Christ. And let me tell you, what I saw of them tells me that they're very sincere. They are very aggressive in a good way, both to expose Islam and to bring the gospel to Muslims and to defend religious liberty. They are courageous. They are dedicated. They act with self-control, even when being verbally and physically abused by Arab festival security guards, in at least one case, a mob of security guards, and even when being unjustly arrested and jailed by Dearborn police. I was very impressed with these people with regard to all the things I just said. In one video sequence, a grand total of just three Acts 17 Christians attempt to give out Arabic Gospels of John outside the festival area, standing on the public sidewalk in downtown Dearborn, offering Arabic Gospels of John to the people that were going by, coming from the festival. Within 4 minutes, they were surrounded by eight police officers and not only stopped, but forced out of the area, many city blocks out of the area. Chief Haddad's police officers, with the Dearborn mayor's full backing, have also illegally confiscated video cameras from Acts 17 and even arrested an 18-year-old girl, a fairly recent convert from Islam, for standing 100 feet away from an incident and simply videotaping the police grossly violating the civil and religious liberties of Christians with Acts 17. And, you know, other sincere Christians, in many cases former Muslims, have also been the target of the Islamicized government officials and police officers of Dearborn, Michigan, including when they have attempted to share biblical truth on the public sidewalks near mosques, as I mentioned, I think, earlier. Now, there have been lawsuits filed, and I'm confident that if the attorneys handle the cases well, and if those cases reach the U.S. Supreme Court, Dearborn, Michigan will regret acting as if that city is Saudi Arabia light. But we don't have time to go through the various issues and incidents connected to this controversy. I will say Christians ought to be thankful to the Acts 17 people and others that have been out in Dearborn. They should be thankful that they're taking the gospel truth to Muslims. They're exposing and reproving the unfruitful works of Islamic darkness. And we should be thankful to them. And I think in this case, Acts 17 is the tip of the spear. We should be thankful to those people for exposing de facto Sharia law, which to some extent has been exercised in Dearborn, Michigan, at least with regard to Christians speaking against Islam and sharing the Christian faith. Now, I've been told it was a while back by a credible police officer with connections to Dearborn and understanding of it that there is a great deal of Islamic corruption in the police force of Dearborn. Now, according to the Acts 17 apologetics people, a police officer from Dearborn, I'm passing on what they say, and they've said it publicly on their website, a police officer from Dearborn has told them that honor killings, even beheadings and the slitting of throats of young Muslim girls has taken place in Dearborn and been covered up. Now, keep all this in mind. I pass on that information about the Sharia law killings not because I have the firsthand information, but because it seems credible when you trace it back, and it's very, very possible knowing the nature of Islam and Sharia law and what has taken place in our country where there's large concentrations of Muslims. Now, keep all this in mind as we proceed. What I propose to do in pursuit of the point we have been making the past several weeks is just read excerpts from a number of documents. These documents were generated in 2009 when Acts 17 Apologetics first witnessed in Dearborn through to the present time. We also have a couple of sound bites for you from Josh McDowell. Now, we spoke about that well-known celebrity last week and his reprehensible relationship with the Red Chinese State Church apparatus. Of course, all for the salvation of souls and the good of the church in China, of course, of course. Now, those lawbreakers, of course, see, that unregistered church, that's doing things all wrong. And apparently so are Christians in America who witness in the open air without a license, without a permit, and without restrictions on what they can share from the Word of God. This is a violation of the new evangelical doctrine of friendship evangelism, isn't it? Now, I'm all for being warm, kind, friendly, and gracious with unbelievers in the warp and woof of life in our day-to-day interaction. That's not evangelism. That's simply a witness to our neighbors of the effects of the new birth, of regeneration. The friendship evangelism error, which denounces true evangelism, is nothing but enmity toward God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James 4, the verses 4. Well, for the past several years, Josh McDowell has been renting a booth at the Dearborn Arab Festival and giving out his book. It's a murder mystery novel titled The Witness. That's his brand of sharing, well, something. I guess the love of God. That's what he keeps talking about when you look at his website. The love of God, the love of God. Sort of a generic statement, the love of God. Now, Josh doesn't give out gospel tracts or New Testaments or gospels or have any scripture signs on his booth or share the gospel with the Muslims from his booth. What he does is, quote, share God's love, unquote. That's how he puts it over and over. We're there to share God's love. Not the gospel, but just God's love with the Muslims, and he, quote, loves on the Muslims, unquote, as he puts it over and over and over. Well, Josh has rented a booth, and so he's abiding by the rules which he agreed to abide by. Well, that's his decision, but he's also abiding by his neo-evangelical, really modernist philosophy of evangelism, which just love on the unsaved and share God's love by being warm, swell, go along to get along, bridge builders. But when it comes to Christians who won't agree to license the Word of God, Josh is not so warm and friendly. In fact, he and others of his ilk seem to see an opportunity to ingratiate themselves to the very people who hate the Word of God, apparently, and even Christ and his people. I say apparently, I'm talking about these government officials. I don't know much about them. I know that Muslims hate the scriptures and Christ and his people, and we ought to have a love for the souls of the Muslims and share truth with them, but Josh and his type really betray Christ and show hate for the lost, hatred for the lost, not love. In this case, the Muslim people, they claim to love them, but they're not showing love by telling them the gospel plainly, the way it's written, and urging them to repent and believe the gospel. If this were the early days of the church, Josh and his friends would have been decrying that plain-spoken Peter, who actually thought preaching the gospel in the open air was the way to see souls saved from hell. In fact, beginning with 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. What would Josh and company have thought of Paul openly debating the Jews and proclaiming the gospel? And then look what happened in Ephesus with the heathen religionists there. Couldn't Paul have found a way to just strike a deal with the city officials of Ephesus, a deal in which Paul could have just hung around and smiled and loved on the Ephesians? Yes, we must be wise and discerning in our public witness, gracious as the situation permits, but also plain-spoken, uncompromised, and faithful to the Word of God. Now, all of this is not an endorsement of the Acts 17 ministry. Rather, It's set in reaction to the modernist evangelism philosophy. You're going to hear from Josh McDowell and others, a corrupt philosophy which is growing and which is driven by a disbelief in the omnipotent work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel, and the sovereignty of God and the salvation of souls. But we don't have time to even lay out before you a detailed chronological summary of events which have taken place over 2 years and 3 Arab Fests. I'm just going to read you a number of excerpts from various documents and also play a couple of short audio clips. I don't know where to start and where to stop here. I have so much material. This is going to be really choppy, but stay with me. I have some things here from the City of Dearborn website. Background on Arab Fest arrests. Arrests at the Dearborn Arab International Festival. A matter of public safety, not First Amendment issues. Talking about the arrests of the ex-17 people. Well, that's generally the refuge of tyrannical-minded officials in such cases. That's called a heckler's veto, though it sounds so practical and necessary. But if religious speech causes a violent response from those who hear it, police are supposed to restrain and arrest the violators of the law, not the ones exercising their legitimate liberties. Listen to this. The City of Dearborn and the Dearborn Police Department recognize all individual rights to freedom of free speech and expression. Now listen to this. This is how they recognize freedom of free speech and expression, the rights. The City of Dearborn allows, through city ordinance, individuals and groups the opportunity to peacefully assemble and safely express their opinions publicly at 4 venues in the city without requiring advance notice of permits. And then they list these little places they can go. That's clearly unlawful, unconstitutional, and tyrannical. Isn't that nice of the City of Dearborn? You can go over yonder, and there you can exercise your free speech. What's to stop the city from eventually making the venue the edge of the city limits right next to the sewer plant? And then they go on and talk about, let's see, they talk about the permit process for the festival grounds and, of course, totally unlawful and unconstitutional. As we talked about earlier, to take a part of the open-air public discourse, turn it into a huge for-profit event, and make it off-limits for religious liberty. Now, as I was reading this, I saw they quote a number of supposed U.S. Supreme Court cases that apply to what they're trying to do, as we've been talking about what they're trying to do, and it's a misapplication of those Supreme Court cases. There are others, of course, that would directly apply, and on the basis of those, they're swimming against a strong legal current. And then it goes on and the City of Dearborn on their website, they go on and they start making use of the Christian organizations that are playing by the rules. Of course, that would be Josh McDowell. He's giving out his murder mystery and loving on the Muslims. By the way, if you want to join Josh for that ministry next year in Dearborn, he's looking for volunteers. All you have to do is pay big bucks to his ministry for the privilege of joining Josh to, quote, love on the Muslims. And part of the deal, at least it's been part of the deal, I don't know about next year, but part of the deal is you get to tour a mosque with Josh McDowell. He does have connections, doesn't he? The Dearborn website says the festival also included a specified First Amendment zone located at the east main entrance to the festival where groups are welcome to gather and express opinions and beliefs freely and safely. Well, I have 3 words in response to that statement about First Amendment zone. 3 legal words, time, place, manner. When we're talking about waking hours, the public concourse, and sharing the gospel, First Amendment zone is a contradiction in terms, and not just sharing the gospel, but any religious speech at all. Now, the city goes on to make all sorts of ridiculous claims. I don't know how much of this to read. They say Acts 17 has distorted their video somehow. I don't know how you do that. I've watched those videos. But here's the thing. Let me just read this to you. Dearborn Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. hosted a meeting with the Dearborn Area Ministerial Association in September 2009 to talk about the experience of Christian groups at the 2009 Arab Festival. Now, of course, those ministerial associations are always ecumenical and corrupt. Anyway, following that meeting, some pastors of Dearborn's evangelical Christian community tried repeatedly to contact members from Acts 17 Apologetics and never received a response. I don't know if that's true or false. But listen to this. These Dearborn evangelical pastors later issued a lengthy statement stating they believe in the right to spread the message of Christianity, but criticized the tactics and behavior of members of Acts 17 Apologetics, saying they did not reflect a Christian spirit. So they made up that big statement. I've seen it, and they put that out. This Muslim-pleasing, city official-pleasing statement. World-renowned Christian minister, author, and speaker Josh McDowell, who has spoken to more than 10 million people in 84 countries, Josh McDowell fans here in the city government, attended the 2009 Dearborn Arab International Festival and posted a video on YouTube on January 12, 2010, reflecting his experience at the Dearborn event. Yes, Josh has several videos on YouTube. One's called, listen to this, Sharia Love in the USA. Sharia Love. How despicable, knowing the brutality of Sharia law. But of course, the Muslims must have, well, loved Don Josh then, I guess, when they heard that. But Josh did make good points then with the Islamicized city officials of Dearborn and the Muslims on and off the police force. By the way, when those street preachers I told you about earlier were run off by the police in one incident, a police officer couldn't restrain himself. He joined the crowd in cheering, raising his hands over his head, cheering and whistling. That's documented. Now, going on the city website here, at the 2009 festival, Josh also spent time filming, interviewing, and speaking to event attendees regarding Christianity. The video posting by Josh McDowell showed quite a contrasting view from the video posting of Acts 17 Apologetics. Yeah, it would be quite a contrast since Josh just gave away murder mysteries from his licensed booth and just loved on the Muslims. As the old corrupt saw goes, he preached the gospel without words. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. Josh spent a lot of time filming. You know, he's taking video films. Later on, you'll be hearing about a lot of complaints from these evangelical, so-called evangelical leaders about Acts 17 using video cameras. But I guess it's all right for Josh. Let's go on. We're going to be hearing some short excerpts from Josh's short videos. By the way, in one of the videos, Josh is wearing a bead necklace around his neck, kind of a big beads, kind of like a choker type thing around his neck, and some bracelets. So I don't know. It almost makes you want to listen to the video but not watch it. It's pretty terrible sight. The city report goes on to talk about a complaint from a Christian volunteer against Acts 17. Wouldn't you know it? I saw the video, and the man's not exactly filled with the love of Christ toward his brethren. Let me go on here, just trying to sum this up. Now there's charges here that Acts 17, things that I saw the video just aren't true about them escalating their behavior and basically causing a riot and so on and so forth. And then they're arrested. And it had nothing to do with First Amendment rights, nothing at all. And this whole report from the city is just full of sophistry and misrepresentations, paragraph after paragraph. And then we're back to Josh McDowell again in this city website. Josh McDowell also attended the 2010, they had already said about the 2009-2010 Dearborn Arab International Festival, and posted a video on YouTube on June 28, 2010, documenting the Dearborn event. At the 2010 festival, Josh McDowell continued to spend time filming, interviewing, and speaking to event attendees regarding Christianity. This video posting by Josh McDowell also shows a contrasting view from the one posted by Acts 17 Apologetics. Well, I suppose it would, because he was inside a tent and he was giving away murder mysteries, and they were outside exposing Islam and handing out gospel tracts and gospels of John and so forth. Let me go on. Dearborn Christian pastor Haytham Abai Haydar, who has been part of the festival since 1999, stated, "The community has been very good to us. From my perspective, we have never had any incidents." He said of David Wood in Acts 17 Apologetics, "Why can't he go around with no cameras, not intimidating people, asking questions, and building relationships with the community and sharing Christ? Why is that difficult?" Well, first of all, he has the video cameras, Acts 17 does. I understand a little bit about this. They don't use them all the time, but when there's an incident where they need them, they use them. Secondly, of course, they use them to keep from, well, false accusations that would actually bring reproach on the cause of Christ from being made that then stick, you might say, and the police accept it, and the court, if it's corrupt enough, accepts it. And so they use it for those reasons. And secondly, this pastor, Abai Haidar, as I understand, had a booth right next to Josh McDowell, and is a friend of his. And Josh McDowell has all kinds of video of people coming and going and just talking to each other and also talking to him. I guess video cameras are all right then. Why can't Josh McDowell just go around with no cameras? And, of course, intimidating people is the charge. You're just supposed to ask questions and build relationships, and then you share Christ. That's their way of sharing Christ, asking questions and building relationships. Then there was I wish I could read all this. There's a response from Mayor O'Reilly on the City of Dearborn website as well. It just smears the Acts 17 people. He says they arrive in Dearborn with the intent to disrupt a local cultural festival and misrepresent facts in order to further their mission of raising funds through emotional response. The funds they raise are then used to finance travel and cameras to disrupt other events in other cities. I mean, this is some way for a mayor to talk about individuals and ongoing legal matter, but he knows what their intentions are. He's looked into their heart. They're just trying to make money, you know, so they can buy cameras and then they can just go around and disrupt events. That's what they're doing. And then he goes on and states a number of other things and says there's no restriction placed on any, quote, lawful activity at the festival. And of course, there's no restriction placed on any activity as long as it's licensed and it's carried out as Islamicized government officials of Dearborn deem lawful. Could I read to you from the Constitution of Red China, Article 36? Citizens of the People's Republic of China enjoy freedom of religious belief. No state organ, public organization, or individual may compel citizens to believe in or not to believe in any religion, nor may they discriminate against citizens who believe in or do not believe in any religion. The state protects, here it comes, normal religious activities. No one may make use of religion to engage in activities that, here it comes again, disrupt public order, impair the health of citizens, or interfere with the educational system of the state. Religious bodies and religious affairs are not subject to any foreign domination. Now, of course, religious activities shouldn't, you know, impair the health of citizens, you know, but it's all a matter of words here and what these mean. What's the definition of normal religious activities? See, that gives them their out. Interfering with the educational system of the state, disrupting public order. What does that mean? There are officials in this country that are, I've run into them many times. There's many good police officers. There are many good public officials, but there are increasingly public officials that take that same route. Oh, you have a constitutional right. You have religious liberty. However, and then the devil's in the definitions, so to speak. But then the mayor goes on and, again, defends the idea the city can set off a big chunk of the downtown and say, well, this is no longer public, not anymore, and now you can't exercise your First Amendment rights. And then look at this. Look at this. The real violation of First Amendment rights occurs with Acts 17 apologetics, trying to imply that they were victim when the real violation is, listen to this, their attack on the city of Dearborn for having tolerance for all religions, including believers in the Quran. Now, that is pretty inflammatory. And then the city goes on, or I should say the mayor goes on and talks again about the Dearborn Area Ministerial Association. See, this is what we've been talking about and how wonderful they are and how they act lawfully. And there are others that come from outside, like world-renowned minister and author Josh McDowell, who come, well, to do things right. And then he talks again about Josh McDowell's videos. And then listen to this. The mayor says this at the end of this statement. Dearborn is not your enemy, nor are the people who live here. People who would promote hatred and lies to get others to act in ways that are contrary to what America stands for are the real enemy for all lovers of our country. What lies? Hatred as you define it, Mayor, but what lies? What lies have the Acts 17 people told? History is full of horrific events that are manufactured by lies to get good people to act purely emotionally to achieve the deceiver's ends. So these Christians who are out exposing Islam and sharing the gospel, and then, of course, defending religious liberty so they can continue to share truth, they could be the spark of a horrific event. Their lies, they'll get good people to act purely emotionally. They're deceivers. What will happen? We've got to do something about these people. We've got to stop this, don't we? We hope that you will choose to become informed and avoid being taken in by people that have yet to share true faith with anyone in Dearborn. Have yet to share true faith with anyone in Dearborn. I saw a video of them handing out Arabic language Gospels of John. Well, these are just excerpts. There's just been a number of other statements and documents. But I want to move on to Josh McDowell. This is from, for instance, A Bridge of Understanding by Josh McDowell on his website. You can read it yourself. And, of course, he talks about loving on Muslims. He's talking about, it's bridge building. You know all of that. And all of us getting along and having understanding between Muslims and non-Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. And he boasts about, well, you're going to hear him doing the same thing in a video, so I won't read all of this, but he boasts about, you know, some things about how it was so peaceful, no hostile arguments, so on and so forth. He says, I visited Dearborn also, he says, 2 months before the festival to meet with Ahmad, I can't pronounce the last name, the director of the Arab Chamber of Commerce, with Ronald Haddad, the chief of police, with the Reverend Haytham Abai Habar of the Arab Christian Church, with Iman Hassan, and I can't say his last name, of the Islamic Center of America, and along with Bassam Murad, the editor of the, I don't know what it is, it's an Arabic Muslim newspaper. And he says much of the mistrust, this is Josh talking, and bigotry surrounding Muslim non-Muslim relations is a result of ignorance, be it unfair stereotypes or isolated negative personal experiences. And then he goes on and just pours all sorts of syrupy praise upon the Arabic Chamber of Commerce, the Dearborn Chief of Police, yes, the same one persecuting Christians at the same time, and the entire Arab community of Dearborn, and oh, I appreciate my relationships with so-and-so, and so and so. And then he has another one here from his site I pulled off, or had someone pull it off for me. And again, wow, what a wonderful time, and how I spent so much time sharing God's love. No gospel, just quote, God's love, unquote. Now, the issue we've been talking about these weeks is professing evangelicals, evangelical leaders, in fact, who are more than willing to be used as instruments of propaganda, and in some cases even witnesses against faithful Christians standing for the truth. Josh McDowell is a sterling and chilling example, and I'm going to, in a minute, give you quotes from some others of his ilk connected to this Dearborn controversy. But first, I want to just pause and play a couple of short excerpts from those videos Josh McDowell posted, videos which, of course, endeared him further to the officials and the Muslims of Dearborn. The first one we're going to hear is from Sharia Love in the USA. I believe this was posted, what did the mayor say? Was it January of 2010? It was after the 2009 fest. And it sure sounds like it's in response to what's been happening to these other Christians, such as Acts 17, who are sharing the gospel in the open air. Let's just hear that right now.
I've never spent 3 days anywhere where I've met more people that are so warm than here at the Arab Dearborn Festival. Folks, I wish you could have experienced it with me. It was probably one of the most positive visits I've ever had in my lifetime to any city in the world. And there were several reasons for that, but one of the big reasons was this. The chief of police. What a gracious man. And then, the president of the Chamber of Commerce. I thank God for him. He was so gracious and thanked us for coming in. And then he told us about the history of the festival. I don't know how the leadership of the city could be more gracious to a guest than the mayor's office, the police, and the Chamber of Commerce was to us. So I say thank you.
All right, that was Josh McDowell. Believe it or not, Sharia Love in the USA. You can find the thing and listen to the whole thing yourself. Then we have another short excerpt from, listen to this, it's after the 2010 Arab Fest. Now, that first video kind of sounds to that name like it was in response to an Acts 17 apologetics video called Sharia in the USA at the same time, because then he posted Sharia Love in the USA, he being Josh. And then look at this, 2010 Arab Fest. After that, Josh posts a video, arrested in Dearborn, not all capital letters, because other Christians were. Now, let's listen to that for just a minute.
But you know what is interesting? In these 2.5 days, not one argument, not one person's raised their voice, not one conflict. Yet every person walking out of here knowing that I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd like them to know him too. That's what makes it all worthwhile.
All right, I don't have time to comment much on that. But you heard Josh say what, that there was not one argument, no conflict, no raised voices. But did you hear him say, yet every person walking out of here knowing that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'd like them to know him too? Well, how did they know that? Every last person walked out of there knowing that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And what does it mean to know him too, Josh? By smiling and being friendly and then it all happens. I want to just go on and read, and I'm going to have to really go through this quick, some revealing quotes from evangelicals, from articles about the Dearborn controversy in various publications. I'm going to speed read this thing, I think. Here you have something from Christianity Today, which is an apostate publication. It says, when four Christians were arrested at the annual Arab International Festival in Dearborn, Michigan this June, many observers accused authorities of bowing to radical Islam by preventing evangelism. But some Dearborn Christians say the outside group, Acts 17 Apologetics, was asking for trouble. Critics say other Christian groups ministered freely at the Arab Festival. Of course, that's not true. They were not ministering freely. They were in the booths. They had to pay a fee to get the booth. They were licensed and they were restricted. I think Acts 17 was fishing for somebody to come out and attack them, said, there he is again, Hatham Abai Haidar, pastor of Dearborn's Arabic Fellowship Alliance Church. Okay, now let's jump to Charisma magazine, another apostate magazine. Here we have again Hatham Abai Haidar of Arabic Fellowship Alliance Church. It really discredits us as a Christian when we make claim that Sharia law is being implemented in Dearborn. Acts 17 says that there is a de facto implementation of some of Sharia law. Any guy above, this pastor says, any guy above 50% IQ would know that's not true. So our credibility in the community is being compromised. Second, we are being perceived as hostile. We evangelical Christians are coming across as if we are out to get Muslims. And then he goes on and says that the people with Acts 17 aren't interested in reaching out to the Muslim community. They're interested in exposing Islam. Well, that's not so bad, is it? Of course, they also do share the gospel. He also says if a Muslim guy came into our church and started attacking our faith, guess what we're going to do to him? We're going to kick him out. And that's what they're going to do, or that's what they were doing to David and Nabil from Acts 17. That wasn't a church. That was a public festival on public property. Here's World Magazine. Oh, they give a summary of it. And it says who was arrested, including that young lady, 18 years old, who was 100 feet away from one incident videotaping. Let's see. And then it brings up Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell says, I must have answered 300 questions from Muslim and not one person raised their voice. Not one person argued. He said local pastors, a chamber of commerce invited him and he asked a local committee to review the materials he handed out beforehand. So it would be okay with the Muslims, see that he'd hand this out. He said he understood the local restrictions. When you have a festival, he says, with 30 or 300,000 going through, you have to have a few rules. Hatham Abai Haidar, again, then he goes into the video camera thing. The video camera thing. All right, let's go on. Here's one of the attorneys that are defending Acts 17, and they talk about how the police kept these cameras, video cameras from Acts 17, and weren't returning them. There's evidence on them and the trouble they had with all of that, we need to walk through this. We need to walk through this quickly. They have in here, it talks about the incident where three members of Acts 17, Gospel of John, and eight, well, it says here seven, but I saw eight police officers walked up, and that was the end of that. And it talks about, and this is very important, there are other situations with other Christians. A man named George Sayag, I think he's a pastor, and he's suing the city because he's tried to just hand out gospel tracts and CDs, and they won't let him do it either, including in front of a mosque that's not on the festival grounds. And that, again, just happened this year, by the way. It appears that at the 2011 Arab Fest, the police were more careful, much more careful because of these ongoing lawsuits. But still, they're still up to some of their tricks, and they did stop people from handing out literature in front of mosques. All right, we're racing through this. I want to read you just this. This is off of the Acts 17 website. They write, it seems that Pastor Haytham, who we've been talking about, may be testifying against us in court. It should be interesting since our video footage refutes his claims. Haytham even went to police, this is an evangelical pastor, in an attempt to strengthen their crumbling case against us. The latest edition of the police report ad, so now we've got the police report. This is not just Acts 17. Quote, this is the police report. Haytham stated he is the pastor and founder of the Arabic Fellowship Alliance Church in Dearborn and also has information that he felt the police should be made aware of. Haytham stated that he also has heard and seen on the internet several negative comments made by David Wood and Nabil, and I can't say his last name, they're with Acts 17, regarding the city of Dearborn, the mayor and the chief of police that he didn't believe were true. Well, you better get right to the police then if these evangelicals sharing the gospel and reproving the unfruitful works of Islam have made some negative comments and you don't think they're true. Haytham stated that he witnessed the arrest of four subjects at the Arab Fest. Haytham was in a booth next to Josh McDowell, no more than 20 or 30 feet from where the arrest occurred, which was outside. He also stated that he witnessed Nabil having a volatile conversation with one of the young Arab male patrons at the festival. According to Haytham, he believed the arrests were justified by the police. Now, this is what we've been talking about now. You know what we've been talking about. We're not going to go back and explain that. We're going to plunge forward. Here's a Fox News report. Well, it's really more of the same. I guess we don't have a whole lot of time. You have more of the same. More of the same. What can I say? I hope I'm not skipping over too much here. Here you have the executive director of the American Arab Chamber of Commerce, Faye Bedouin or something like that. She's telling Fox News that, local Christian leaders have taken issue with this George Sayag's brand of evangelizing. And I know I'm mispronouncing his name, which is handing out gospel tracts and CDs. Yes, we shouldn't be doing that. Now, that leads me directly to this. Christianity Today, should we still give out tracts? Discussion starter. An Illinois circuit court recently ruled that a Baptist group could legally distribute anti-Catholic tracts at a Catholic festival. On public ground, you see. Meanwhile, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals said that it was unconstitutional to restrict passing out Christian tracts at the Arab International Festival in Dearborn, Michigan. So now that such festival evangelism is legal, well, it always was legal. Anyway, the question is it effective? And now they've got different people commenting on this. Now, let's remember, we're talking about gospel tracts, right? We're talking about gospel tracts. In other words, it's the gospel in writing in a tract, along with, if it's a good tract, along with plenty of scripture. It's the gospel proclaimed in writing. It's proclaimed in writing in the Bible, and here it is in a gospel tract. Now listen to these people. I talk about friendship evangelism. Listen to this. Danny Lehman, Evangelism Representative, YWAM, Global Leadership Forum. Now, again, this is an apostate group, but most Muslims and most people, the statistics show, come to the Lord through a process of God dealing with them over a period of time. Very seldom does anybody do the classic, somebody's a non-Christian who has never heard the gospel, and you give them a tract, they read it, and at the end get saved. That's very rare. Well, certainly in his world, it's very rare. But if you use the tract to open up a conversation with someone, you can find out their, listen to this now, felt needs. You can meet them where they are. Personal evangelism is often the most effective. Find out their felt needs and meet them where they are. You know, Hudson Taylor used tracts. Adoniram Judson used tracts. I personally know a number of people who have been saved. God graciously saved them through the instrument of a tract by reading the tract. And at least one of them's a minister now. Listen, I mean, this is just a sharing of the gospel. You can't meet one-on-one with, well, for instance, at last year's Cheese Days Festival here in Monroe, we gave out over 10,000 gospel tracts, our little church. How am I supposed to make friends with 10,000 people? You know, these people are dying. These people are, you know, they're all around us, people dying every day, going to hell. We ought to share the gospel many ways, and certainly tracts are a wonderful way. Bob Roberts, pastor, Northwood Church. Yes, if it isn't distracting from the event, he opens up with. Oh, okay, well, that's it then. I guess we're not supposed to share tracts. Yes, if it's not distracting from the event. That's the main thing. If the world is having a big festival, well, it distracts from that. Don't hand out tracts. Has he ever read about the preachers, for instance, in Wales that used to go out to these worldly events and they would preach? Oh, yes, it was disruptive. It was disruptive when George Whitefield went out and preached as well. It was disruptive when these godly men went out and preached the gospel. Very disruptive. Sometimes there were riots. But he says, yes, if it isn't distracting to the event, and yes, this, yes, that, and you have to be humble, gentle, broken. You have to understand their point of view, listen to them, serve them practically. You have to find a way to practically serve them. You know what I'm saying? He's telling us that we have to, could I do something for you? And then could I see you have a button missing from your shirt. Could I sew that on? Could I don't know, wash your car? I don't know what he's talking about. Practically serve them to show the love of Jesus, and then you can give a tract. And then he says to end, no, if all you want to do is preach. Well, yes. Can you imagine that? All you want to do is preach the gospel. There's something wrong with people like that, I guess. Shane Claiborne, founding partner, The Simple Way. Yes, Shane Claiborne, emerging church, very, very Romish. God spoke to Balaam through a donkey, so I reckon God can also use a tract, but I'm not sure that makes it God's favorite medium. The best evangelism happens through relationships, through sharing burdens, dreams, pains, and fears. Let me stop right there. What is it with these people? A tract is the proclamation of the gospel, a good tract, with scripture, lots of scripture. The Bible is the printed page as well. I mean, it declares the gospel. I realize the tract is different. We're talking about now God's revealed and preserved word, his inspired word. But I'm simply saying parts of that are in the tract, and then there is, of course, a proclamation of the gospel as well in the tract. But no. The best evangelism happens through relationships, through sharing burdens, dreams, pains, and fears. The gospel spreads like a disease through life, breath, touch, and shared life. It's not so much taught as caught. The incarnation is all about God moving into the neighborhood and joining the human struggle. This man is not only apostate, he's a blasphemous apostate. Perhaps a tract can be our first glimpse of God and spark some sort of curiosity. And then they talk to Christian Smith. There's a misnomer, Christian Smith, professor of sociology, Notre Dame, the Roman Catholic school. Most people become Christians through relationships, not by being handed pieces of paper. Well, I mean, you know, we give out Gospels of John. It's all printed on pieces of paper. The latter usually has more to do with some Christians feeling like they're, quote, doing something, unquote, than anything that changes people. You know, handing out gospel tracts or Gospels of John. And then we have Jason McKelly, Pastor Aldersgate, United Methodist Church. Ah, that's interesting. Aldersgate. What would John Wesley have to say about what this man has to say? What does he say? Recent court rulings demonstrate how they're effective at causing acrimony, which in my darker moods, I imagine, is the actual intent of such evangelism. The tracts and street preaching in question appear to be anti-Catholic or anti-Muslim more so than an authentic sharing of the gospel. If the message we're charged to spread is good news, the good news is God in the flesh dying for sinners who betrayed and killed him, then logically I don't see how such a message can be conveyed in a way that is bound to be received as aggressive, hostile, or dismissive, nor do I see how tracts or impersonal witness is adequate to our message. Our news, after all, is of an incarnational God. I don't believe we can share the message of such a God in a way that doesn't require us to put flesh to the message, opening ourselves to strangers and building relationships rather than, here it comes again, passing out slips of paper. What do we got then? Then we have William Martin, Senior Fellow for Religion and Public Policy, Baker Institute, Rice University. These measures have little positive effect, but considerable potential for irritating their targets. Flyers that advertise an event might attract some percentage of recipients, though Billy Graham's team learned long ago that the best way to get the unconverted to his services was to have them brought by friends. This was the rationale for Operation Andrew, which reportedly accounts for a substantial proportion of people making first-time decisions. Yeah, and how many of them were truly saved? Has he seen the statistics on that? I doubt that flyers containing a brief gospel message have much impact. Tracts may be useful in addressing specific questions and on and on. And people receiving tracts on the street, it's just no good. Well, we need to draw to a close. I mean, that's the way the things are, but these men claim to be, you know, leaders, Christian leaders. They're not even Christian, of course. And, you know, they're telling us how to share the gospel. You know what? So does Paul. And he's speaking there of ministers in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. And he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. That is, the truth as it is in Jesus. That is, the word of God, the scriptures, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. May God help us, true Christians, to rise up against all this dark deception and come against it with truth, the truth as it is in Jesus.